Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news headlines. Really, it's an hour, but you run the headlines. That's okay. Maybe someday. But anyway, this is, and this for sure we know, CKUT 90.3 FM. Oh, and you can listen at ckut.ca.
We want information. Information. Information.
Bonjour, hello, and welcome to this week's edition of The Headlines from CKUT's Community News Collective in Montreal. Information that matters from our neighborhood to the world. The headlines are produced in collaboration with The Dominion. We're broadcasting from Montreal and rebroadcasting on stations throughout Canada and the U.S. These are the headlines for the week of March 30th, 2009. I'm Juniper Belshaw.
We start with national news.
Vancouver police shot and killed Van Hubbard last week, a homeless man that they incorrectly assumed was a car burglar. Hubbard is said to have pulled an X-Acto knife when police approached him with guns drawn. While police say that they fatally opened fire when Hubbard shook the knife at them and approached, some among the 50 people who witnessed the murder have gone on record with different versions of events. They say that Hubbard was shaking as he slowly pulled the small knife from his backpack and was shot without having advanced toward police. Police deleted a cell phone video of the shooting, allegedly taken by one eyewitness at the scene of the crime. The case is being investigated by Abbotsford Police under the Police Act, despite the inherent biases that police may likely harbor. In the majority of cases, police officers are not held criminally or financially responsible for brutalities or murders that they commit.
The United States and Canada plan to establish new air pollution control zones for ports along their coasts. This is an effort to force domestic and foreign ships to curb emissions. According to the Washington Post, these emissions are linked to thousands of illnesses and premature deaths each year. The restrictions would require large vessels to use low sulfur fuel or new technology to reduce the emission of sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, and soot while within 200 nautical miles of the lower 48 states.
A Canadian judge has upheld Ottawa's decision to ban British parliamentarian George Galloway from entering the country to conduct a speaking tour. Galloway has been a vocal critic of the U.S. wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as of the Israeli government. Canadian officials accuse Galloway of giving financial support to Hamas and offering sympathy to the Taliban. Canadian officials claim he is a threat to national security. Last night, Galloway spoke in Toronto via the internet.
In 1945, Paul Robeson, an African-American musician and actor, was an advocate of peace and racial equality and a promoter of social justice. His pro-union and all-inclusive politics became less acceptable to the powers that be when an employer backlash against the labor movement was supported in Congress, which limited unions' organizational abilities and banned certain political viewpoints from union leadership positions. On May 18, 1952, in defiance of the authorities who refused to allow him to cross the border, Paul Robeson stood on the back of a flatbed truck on the U.S.-Canadian frontier and sang songs of justice misused in solidarity with 40,000 people gathered from both sides of the border at Peace Arch Park between the town of Blaine in Washington State and Vancouver, British Columbia. On that day, in 1952, Paul Robeson sang the old Union song about the martyr Joe Hill, and told the convention that his government was keeping him confined under, quote, a sort of domestic house arrest, unquote. The issues dear to Paul Robeson, social justice, freedom, civil and human rights, are just as pertinent now as they were then. British Member of Parliament George Galloway is scheduled to speak in Toronto, Ontario. His presentation is entitled Resisting War, From Gaza to Kandahar. It is a presentation that Mr. Galloway will also be making in Montreal on April 1st and is scheduled to be delivered in two other Canadian cities as well. Unfortunately, for the sake of Canadians and the right to free speech everywhere, the current government of Canada is showing the global community that it has not progressed to a level of acceptance of various viewpoints any more than those McCarthy-era censors who attempted to silence Paul Robeson in 1952. The censorship committee in this current case is comprised of the Minister of Immigration, Multiculturalism, and Integration, Jason Kenney, in accordance with the Canadian Border Services Agency and supported by the Conservative government. This censorship committee has taken upon itself the unprecedented action of banning a sitting member of the British Parliament from entering into Canada based solely on differences in political ideology and political alliances. The saddest part of this episode for Canadians and Canada's global reputation is the remarkably little concrete opposition from the supposedly independent thinkers who are our elected representatives in Canadian Parliament. This virtual compliance by the Liberals and other opposition parties in Ottawa with the unilateral judgment of the government regarding what Canadians do and don't have a right to listen to threatens to have more of a long-term effect on Canada's global reputation well after the Conservatives are long done and gone. George Galloway, much in the same manner as Paul Robeson in 1952, will not be silenced and will be giving his presentation through audio simulcast from a location on the Canadian-U.S. border. The only result of the censorship committee's efforts will be to expose what those who they represent really stand for, and the whole world that is watching will be theirs and Canada's judge. This is Tarek Giroux-Burkhan reporting from Montreal.
And now, international news.
As the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, prepares for its 60th summit meeting at the end of this week, activists are organizing locally and internationally to express their opposition to NATO and military globalization. In light of the upcoming meeting set to take place in Germany and France, several demonstrations have already taken place in Europe as part of a campaign called NATO Game Over. According to a press release on Indie Media Quebec, less than 2 weeks ago in Belgium, about 1,000 peace activists from across Europe gathered at NATO headquarters in Brussels. While there were about 450 arrests and heavy police presence, some activists managed to enter the military bases and seal gates, windows, and doors, temporarily closing down the headquarters. Meanwhile, similar political actions took place in the Netherlands and in Germany, and more can be expected, as activists plan to set up an international action camp and counter-summit at the Strasbourg meeting in France.
An investigation into alleged misconduct by Israeli soldiers during the recent three-week assault on the Gaza Strip was closed on Monday. The Israeli military's top lawyer concluded that accusations made against the soldiers were, quote, based on hearsay. Among the most serious instances under review was one in which an elderly woman, suspected of being a suicide bomber, was shot while approaching Israeli forces. Israeli human rights groups, including B'Tselem and Yesh Din, want a broad, independent investigation of the Gaza operation. The groups say they don't trust the Israeli military to police itself.
The 21st Arabic Summit, which concluded in Doha on Monday evening, dismissed the arrest warrant issued by the International Criminal Court, ECC, against Sudanese president, as the final declaration read by the Secretary General of the Arab League, Harm Musa. The text says, quote, "We stress our solidarity with the Sudan and our rejection of the decision of the ECC against President Bashir, and we support the unity of Sudan." End of the quote. El Bashir promised the, quote, "stability and peace." End of the quote. Libyan leader and president of the African Union, AU, Muammar Gaddafi, in reference to the arrest warrant issued March 4 by the ICC against Sudanese President Omar el-Bashir for war crimes and crimes against humanity, Darfur, say, quote, "If we allow such a thing, that a president be arrested and tried as President Bashir, we should also judge those who have killed hundreds, millions of children in Iraq and Gaza." End of the quote.
Those are the week's headlines. Our broadcasts are available for download every week at ckutnews.wordpress.com and now at mediacoop.ca. You can read more news from the grassroots at dominionpaper.ca. Thanks as always to the Dominion and our contributors Fabrice Futso, Annabelle Koo, Laura Glowacki, Chris Albanati, Lauren Liu, TJ Khan, and Juniper Belshaw of the CKUT Community News Collective. I'm David Koch. To contact us, email headlines@ckut.ca or call 514-448-4041 extension 6788. Thanks for listening.